Blog Talk Radio.
This is Jasa Sagonige, a seventh great grandson of Samanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Osio Ginalii Tahiju Toigu, which means, hello cousins, I'm fine, how are you? This is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau in east central Tennessee, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the old Cherokee Nation. We don't stand a whole lot on ceremony tonight, and we've got some special guests tonight. Adam Yellowbird is with us, and his friend Mally, and of course, everybody knows our good friend Mark. I'm looking for the sound effect here. There it is. Yeah, okay. Anyway, everybody's mics are live. Welcome to the show, and glad you're here. Good to talk to you again, Adam and Mally. And so tell everybody what you want them to hear.
Hey, good evening, all of you out there. Happy solar eclipse here. Very powerful. I don't know if you got an opportunity to see it. We just spent the last few hours in ceremony, watching that energies and praying, and we're moving through the doors. I'd like to share with you something that we're putting together. It's called A Gathering, The Dawn of the New Time. And this gathering is this June 22nd through 24th in Sedona, Arizona. And it's been called forth by the High Priest, High Authorities, Mamos of Colombia. And by the Ayahuasca and Kogi people, to bring their message of hope and inspiration in these times and give a little explanation about the importance of these times.
Wow.
So I know Mark, too, knows a lot from different perspectives also about the symbolics and the days and, you know, what really in-depth meanings here, but there is hope for those that are listening. It's a very important time of rebalancing myself, mind, body, and spirit, and also Mama Earth, you know.
Oh.
Yes.
So you're getting ready for a big meeting, huh?
Yeah, the meeting. Why we've chosen Sedona, Arizona for this gathering is because it holds a very unique as I would say, and also over here they call it like vortex, but I would, you know, suggest it as being a sacred site, and a lot of energetics, a lot of alignments take place, a lot of meridian systems run through this area in the mountains and the Four Corners region, and so part of the reason we've done this is to be able to create this portal or doorway for these transmissions to come to these and through these ancient peoples, which are the Mamos, which are a very, I'm not sure if any of y'all have heard about them, that they've never left the sacred fires and their connections with the elements, earth, air, fire, and water, and the natural world since the beginning of time, and they live way up high in the Sierra Mountains in Colombia, and we chose this so that they can help us clear these regions and help bring balance back to the people here, and then also the waterways, the fires, the wind, the earth, you know. That's in a nutshell here. Also, since we do have Mark on line here, Mark, if you, him and I have been working together for quite some time now, some years, and he can give a little perspective of the energy flows that are moving on this on these days. If you'd like to share a little bit, and then we can go further into conversation.
Well, which days are those, Adam?
The June 22nd, 23rd, 24th.
Okay, 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. June 22nd will be the first day?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, in the traditional day count that Mayan Don Alejandro uses, June 22nd, 2012 is going to be a day called Four Etznab, or in Guatemalan, Four Tajiks, or Four Tecpatl in the Aztec. It's the fourth day of the Eagle Cycle. So this whole gathering, meeting, is going to take place completely within the Eagle Cycle. So we have the eagle and the condor energy, but it's going to be in eagle territory in the eagle cycle. This particular day is significant because in that same cycle, just a couple days later, actually, you said 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, right?
Correct.
Correct.
So this will be the first day. The last day of this thing will be Six Ahau. Six Ahau, the Ahau glyph is the glyph of the sun, so Six Ahau would also mean six sun. That is exactly the time period that Mayan Don Alejandro says we are getting ready to move into, from the fifth sun to the sixth sun, right? So
yeah.
That closing day is going to have that energy to it. In between those two is Five Kuok. This is brings in the energy. The middle day of this meeting is going to bring in the energy of the in the Lakota is going to be the Thunder Beings, Wikion. Also, a majority of the white buffaloes have been born on Kuok days. I'd say probably almost half the time, more than 50% of those white buffaloes have probably roughly around there have been born on these days. So that's going to bring in white buffalo energy in the middle on the second day of your gathering. So those are some of the things kind of going on. Let me see. I see something else here real quick.
I'll give you a little badger energy here. There you go. I'll give you a chub. Hey, Adam. Adam, what kind of yellow bird are you named after?
What kind of yellow bird? Some of my clown teachers call me Big Bird. You know, the like Sesame Street bird. I'm just
okay.
They gotta always have the humor in it and everything, so they always tease me. Then the other guy
looking for a sound effect.
Yeah. And then Tweety Bird, they always call me. They wanted to keep me in check to see if I was my ego getting too big. But I just say I'm a common bird. I'm, you know, really I follow the understanding of bringing the message, you know, to the people and bringing that inspiration and joy to that. So I was actually named by the Lakota people by the Flying By, Joseph Flying By, out of Standing Rock, South Dakota. Yellowbird, and that name is Vinkala Z, and it comes with a responsibility. And there was a great leader named Vinkala Z back in the Sitting Bull time. And what he did was unite a lot of the tribes back then, what they called the Wanahi Wachipir, the spirit dance or ghost dance back then. And that's sort of the line of what we're doing, is bringing tribes together to come in a platform to share their culture, wisdom, and knowledge, and ceremonials to be inspired once again in these times. So just following that spirit of that medicine, it's the name of medicine in a walk that has, you know, become into.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a very holy time. What we're in this gathering is the midway point. Mark, I'm sure, could understand from in those days what he just explained, going into December 21st. It's midway in this year, but it's very significant before we hit December 21st. And it's going to be another doorway for those of us moving through that have surrendered to this process, that we're going to be able to really elevate ourselves in higher consciousness and clean and fill the space and time with higher frequency vibration of white golden light to illuminate all these what we would call problems, issues, you know, that are taking place here, and reevaluate, recalibrate this whole really, you know, whatever, you know, what we call mishap or illusioned, you know, problems or sickness or unhappiness. And it's really an exciting time to be alive right now.
That's true.
Well, your gathering, this meeting's also going to take place today. The Pyramid of the Sun at Teotihuacan, there's this cave there, and that's going to align with the setting sun as this eclipse happened. And that alignment occurs two times during the year with that pyramid. One is basically today, the 19th, 20th, or 21st, kind of fluctuates right around there. The next time it's going to occur is going to be on July 25th.
Mm.
So this meeting that you're having is on June 22nd, 23rd, 24th, roughly in the middle of those two alignments.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, Adam, I'll let you know, you've already broken a record for live listeners for this show since it's been on the air.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. We're speaking to you, but I'm actually giving a transmission. I can feel it vibrating through my body right now after staring at this solar eclipse for the last hour, sending this divine light, this vibration of golden light to clear all of our minds, all of our bodies, all of our spirits to every sacred site, ley line, and meridian system here and now. Thank you.
Ho.
Ho.
We also, we got a voice, Mally, on there. She's a part of our team now for this dawn of the new time. That's where we're entering into. And I'd like her just to share a little snippet.
Yeah, I'm happy.
That. Yeah.
I'm happy to add a few things to you guys, and I'm honored to be a part of assisting. You know, I live in Sedona part of the time. I live in Florida part of the time. And what I have found through my journey of really becoming more and more involved in this type of a process the past 20 years, there are so many people searching to find an avenue of this information and to wake up. And I compliment Adam so much for giving the platform that he is at this very important partway of our journey towards December 21st, 2012. So your help of getting word out to people to come to Sedona for this very special gathering with the Mamos coming out of Colombia, and to visit our website for even more details when we get off the air. It's www.indigenousnativeamericans.com, because everyone is on their search and they're on their quest at some level of their consciousness. So to share the information and let them be a part of the sacred journey is so vital to right now on the planet.
Ho. That's a big deal for the Mamos to come out of there and come up to Sedona.
Yes, it is. I've been down on the ground with these guys. I've been working with them since 2007, and I've been working back and forth with them over the last several years, and believe me, they'd rather be at home, but they said now's the time, and they're open, they're willing to share with the younger brothers and help guide us, and that both pieces, what we carry and what they carry, is just as important in this time, and let's balance it and work together to reharmonize some of the things maybe we got a little out of balance. And everything I talk to them about what's going on in the world, and they're like, "Well, we don't need TV. We get the transmissions from our mountains." And when I talk to them about what's happening in the world and the devastation, they say everything's okay. It's part of the natural cycle. But let's wake up more. Let's be balanced. Let's harmonize. Yeah.
It's really important. Wish I could be with you.
Well, there is a way. We are creating a forum, also working with Mally here. I just started on the website. Maybe we could do some more social media for those that are listening, too. We would like everyone to connect internationally, those that could not be here. There'll be a way, whether it's lighting a candle, whether it's a meditation, or going to a sacred river, mountaintop, oceans, springs, making your offerings, making your gesture of what I call earth acupuncture, setting the seeds and that divine instrument of light that we are, setting those points at that time during those days to help recalibrate the system, recalibrate your system, your meridian system, your mind, body, and spirit. So there will be a forum. I encourage you to join through the website and the different venues that we're going to be social media and sending this out. And so stay tuned to that, too, and you'll be connected.
Good.
And there's more and more being added, probably like every other day this week, to Adam's website. And people will really, there's a lot of YouTube clips and video up there that is very, very useful if anyone has a calling and feels an inkling to participate in a variety of ways from afar.
Good.
Yeah.
This
Mark,
is good.
Still
yeah, Mark's still there.
Okay.
Yes, I'm here.
you want to share a little bit briefly? You know, you and I have been working for years too, and we've gone through a lot of process with this, and we've seen a lot. You've studied a lot. I know. I want to honor you for your work. And we've worked with many of the elders corresponding. I know I've used Mark for getting some kind of guideline or navigation through the process, since he works a lot with the calendars, the Mayan calendars in this way. And I know you've seen sort of a flow where we're moving. And I know sometimes Mark and I talking, and you're like, are we going to be here another day? We're still here.
Yeah. So, but you know, he knows how to dig out the information.
Yeah. So if you got some, you know, a little bit of history, but maybe, you know, give it a little bit more in depth of what you've been seeing too, and even maybe a little touch, brief touch on it. I don't know if you all have heard about one of the white buffalo was taken not too long ago, a week or two ago. Do you know the date on that? Did you hear that, Mark, that date? And so that's very key, I think, for the North, especially North American indigenous peoples and all of us right now. Do you have something to share on that?
Well, that particular white buffalo's name had to do with thunders, clouds, and lightning, right?
Yeah.
And if you remember, I said a lot of the white buffaloes, when we look them up, their births have been on one of the Mayan glyphs that has to do with thunder, lightning, and storms. And so that actually was the thing that triggered me and Adam to link up. Was one of the white buffaloes, the second one, or actually third one, that was born up in Janesville, Wisconsin. And since then, we've had a number of white buffalo calves being born all over the place. And there's some up in Canada, in Montana. There's probably, at least 10 or 12, I think, legitimate ones, and a few others that, you know, they're questioning. But there's still been quite a few. So, and one of the persons that I got involved with that hooked me up with Adam, Stephanie Schwartz, who passed away August 17th, 2009, she talked with me about it and why so many white buffalo calves. And I'm not sure anybody really understands why, but both her and I sort of agreed that we thought it was a good thing. That was a good sign to see an abundance of white buffalo calves being born. I think that the several of these white buffaloes, one of them, what was it? I think Medicine Wheel up in Montana or somewhere up north, that white buffalo was also killed. So there's been several of them that have met sort of untimely death, I guess you could say. And it kind of has pulled people together. Even the death of Miracle Second Chance pulled things together and caused things to happen. So in Mayan sense, in many Native people's sense, a death brings about a transformation or a change. You always have to move through the underworld or through a period of darkness or through the womb, whatever, how you will choose to symbolize it, to get through to a new connection or a new time. I think that's the Adam's thing in June 22nd, 23rd, and 24th is about a new time. And the Mayan elders speak of a dawn, the new dawn. You know, so we're looking at December 21st, 2012. They're looking at December 22nd, 2012, day one of year zero. And these white buffaloes and the whole thing with the white buffalo calf woman, it's also pointing us in that same direction, because if we read the stories about her, she also spoke of a new time in world cycles. So I think that these deaths are, and especially deaths when a lot of these white buffaloes have died rather young. They weren't here very long. So why? You know, did they they were moving along pretty fast from our world to the next. They also bring in connection, star connection. If you look at the Lakota star theology, that links up to the Mayans, the Cherokee, and everybody else in terms of the stars of the Pleiades, because in the Lakota star constellation, and it's called animal or buffalo constellation, the head of it would be the Pleiades. So that's linking in, bringing in Pleiadian energy, and that's actually happening today too, because there's a Pleiadian alignment with Teotihuacan, the Pyramid of the Sun and all that. It's built to do that. So when we hear the Mayan elders talking about the grandfathers from the stars, and they also talk about people from the Pleiades, and we hear that from other native cultures as well. So that is weaving through this white buffalo, weaving into this new time, weaving into the precession of the equinoxes that connects into both Arcturus and the Pleiades. You know, Edgar Cayce talked about that, right? So all those things are weaving together here. So
fascinating.
So that's enough. Let Adam talk some more.
Yeah, well, he's even a bigger connected dots person than I am. It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's that German blood. I've got a little too.
Well, it's now the time, you know. Again, in 2009, the call was put out, the return of the ancestors, a fulfillment of many prophecies, evil condors that's all coming together. As the ancestors have returned, or the Buffalo Nations have returned, the spirits have returned, we are the ones we've been waiting for in this time. It's also a place in time where we are to take our place in the circle. Prior to this, and years before, maybe we had circles, but others were trying to take others' places. There's no more time like for that. That doesn't work anymore. So if in anything what you're hearing here tonight to inspire you around the sacred fire, to return to the sacred fire, which is another gathering we're doing coming up too, in the Midwest, it will be coming, and that message is to take your place around the sacred fire, around the sacred sun, around this inner sun, this heart. Find that place. And use that medicines and your tools that you have, and we're gonna, you know, go through this doorway. And it's actually an incredible when we surrender and let go of all these old thought patterns, these old ways of dealing and communicating in relations. It'll be with ease, without dis-ease. And this is really what the Mamos, Iwakos, Kogis, Wiwas, and Kukwamos from the heart of the world in Colombia has held on to some of this knowledge, the telepathic knowledge. They've kept their place by the sacred fires, and it's just phenomenal. If you've never been there, and they really, you know, they haven't allowed too many people to return back to that part of the world or to the heart of the world. It truly is like the main artery going down there of the heart, and there's just rivers flowing and lush and complete abundance. And they tell us that we can restore. You know, I know, I've seen with my own eyes how the rivers can be restored, recleaned, rebalanced. Something very important right now as we are taking our places, those of you that are listening, there's many people out there, relatives, friends, grandmas, grandpas, that have artifacts, medicine people, leaders, if you're hearing this message right now, those of you that have specific artifacts, sacred objects, the message is that we take specific artifacts back to their place of origin. Take back the stones, the medicine pieces, the potteries that were painted and potentially traded and taken from museums. We know there's many museums. The message is, don't worry about that. The calling of these artifacts back to the rivers, the mountaintops, the graves, the tombs, the sacred sites where they came from, specifically with direction to take these back to help rebalance, and it will restore and rebalance those regions. Then the spirits and the energies from these sacred objects, artifacts that are in the Vatican and all over the world. They will begin speaking to those that are holding those artifacts, and they'll begin shaking and feeling that, and they'll begin returning these to the appropriate peoples and indigenous peoples from all over the world.
Oh.
So this is the beginning of that process. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but if you're there, feel that. Those of you sitting, I've been meeting with people over the last month. They have artifacts in their homes, and they don't know what it's for or why it was created. These mamokolis, the high priest, and the specific medicine people trained in these ways understand the placement. We can always return back to those places, but to let go of those attachments. Some of these artifacts and sacred ceremonial objects, the leaders, medicine people, we've held on to them for the power or direction. The message is to surrender those and give those back, the appropriate ones. I'm not talking about every arrowhead or every piece, but you know, people know what these pieces are. Feel that. There's a message coming.
Well, I know the buffalo are crying.
Yes.
They want them back.
Yes, it's time. We have to let go. Even there's many leaders, I've been talking to other leaders nationwide right now, and they said, yeah, I can feel that. It resonates. So I've seen what happens when we do that. I was privileged to see in the last few months part of this process returning the artifact. We do not have to stand up and fight these associations or government or organizations to ask for them back. Nature and the elements will allow them to return back to source as long as we take our place and those medicine people and leaders give back those appropriate pieces.
That's right.
So,
just need to turn loose a little bear energy on them.
Yeah. Yes.
That'll work. That'll get them.
I'd also at this time like to send the energies from over here, and then we have right now the key points. I'm over here outside of Arizona or Sedona. We have Mark up in Denver area in Colorado. We have you. We're in Florida Valley, and then also. Blue Water, you're in the mountain range, no?
I'm in Cumberland Plateau, the ancestral home of the people of the Lightning and Thunder, Aniwetikwalaski, Cherokee.
Yeah, so we're creating this grid, this system, and this network. Even, you know, we're doing it through radio, Blog Talk Radio, or the internet and things like that, but we're creating this vibration and this flow right here, and it's moving through the waves. We're hitting all the electric lines, all the grid system, the meridians, and everybody's feeling this frequency and this vibration, and we sent it through this solar eclipse, too. So illuminate this with really high vibration thoughts, clearing energies, and gold vibrational energies this evening.
Sounds good to me.
So powerful to have you guys speak, to have all of us speak and come into our power and our place near those sacred fires. And it's just to the listeners to be reminded that each of us holds that power within us. It's about remembering and reawakening and to find that quiet time, to find ceremony in your life and to tap into the leadership of the people like Mark and Adam and yourself, because the people are coming out, and they want to share, and seek it out, everyone.
Yeah. I think we've got people in from Mexico listening. I'm probably all over the world that are running through the internet and probably the radio here.
Hey, we got a caller on the line. Who's calling? Caller, can you hear us? I guess he hung up.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, shoot. I thought you hung up. please call back. I thought you hung up, so I just disconnected you because I heard a... So please, area code 310, please call back. I apologize. I thought I heard you hang up, so I just dropped the line. So just call back.
Okay.
It'll probably be about a minute because there's a minute delay.
Right. Yeah, it's really key right now. I think this is what the ancestors were visioning and talked about, you know, several hundred years ago, especially throughout the nations in North America when, you know, we had the movement come through here and especially with through the east and moved to the west. As you all know, with the Calvary and everything and what the elders and medicine people saw. But it is the time. We're ending. The time of suffering is over.
And yep.
It's an incredible time. And we have to let that go, the suffering. What allows this to happen is we all let it go. And I commit here today once again to let it go. Let the suffering go. Old thinking, the old paradigm, the old way of, you know, the things, my thought patterns. And we do this together in regrouping in councils and circles, uniting with our relatives of the east, south, west, and north.
So,
is the caller back up? Or?
Not yet. There's about a minute delay. Yeah, please call back. I heard a click on the line and area code 310, please call back.
Yeah, and those of you, I think we've got some out of Mexico listening from the base of Mount Cuchama outside of Tecate, Mexico, too. Saludos to them in Mexico. My love to you guys out there and around the world, too, you know. I was just thankful. Also, we finished up in May, full moon, our 14th annual Earth Dance 8 International Multicultural Gathering. And that is specifically for...
Oh, my gosh. We have 91 listeners now. Woo! Well, you know how to pack them in, my word. Yeah, caller, please call back, area code 310. We didn't mean to boot you off, so... And sometimes
people
have...
The ceremony was given by the Holy Ones. The ceremony Earth Dance was to recalibrate and vibrate the sacred sites and the regions of the mountains. And we've been blessed and asked by the elders from Mexico, from the borders, to diminish the borders. They said in the future, there'll be no more borders. And this ceremony is placed smack on the border at the base of Cuchama. I want to thank Rancho La Puerta for allowing us to be there and the whole communities. The tribes there are uniting and they're ready to receive. And so... this has been working. We have confirmation. We're not only working with the indigenous, but we're working actually with governors there. And they're supporting in the schools and education and the therapists and the healers. There's a tremendous amount of unification happening on the border. Eco villages and schoolings coming up to be right on the border. And in the future, we're working on some land actually right now in the contract. We're having land for self-sustaining for these borders and communities. So we're really grateful for that and the Earth Dance. And it's just, we get the confirmation every year that what we're doing, healing, it's very similar to, you know, it's a ceremony where we do our fasting. We pray to the sun and moon and the elements, earth, air, fire, and water. You know, we go pretty in-depth there and we're cleansing, clearing, and connecting all those other sites to all of the sites around the world. But if you haven't been, that's the opportunity. Next May, full moon, we'll be revibrating, setting those points down there to go to Mexico. Very key for us here in North America.
Oh.
So, if everybody's sort of quiet their way, what next here?
Yeah, whoever wants to talk, just go ahead and pitch in.
Well, you know, just a reminder to any listeners, I'll, you know, there's so many ways to help, whether it's just a simple prayer or being connected. And again, I remind anybody that wants to visit Adam's website of the IndigenousNativeAmericans.com. you know, we're looking for more support for different levels of sponsorship. And if somebody out there, you never know unless you ask and put it out there. Adam's looking and arranging all the airfares right now. And if anyone wants to sponsor one of these elders coming to the Dawn, you know, that certainly contact us, call us. We'll give you more information if that feels like a right fit for you. So, you know, just always pick up the phone and call and find out about it if you feel called to do so with your gut.
Ho.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, one other thing
I think Adam was talking about earlier about how people can participate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things in the participation, people might want to read and consider and learn a little bit about what the Koji call a Luna. And it will be good to utilize that concept and a Luna to join in. Because that is a unifying thing amongst all people. And I think that the way I understand it is the Alunas sort of like my way of describing it would be is sort of like the consciousness that moves through zero point, that moves through the two torsion fields, one of them symbolized by the eagle and the other one by the condor, and the one in the center, Quetzal. And those two are also symbolized by the two Hopi serpents at the north-south pole. And thus, a Luna sort of is related to what the Hopi call the spider woman, kind of weaving everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the consciousness of a Luna moves out and weaves through and utilizes those energy patterns, and those torsion fields are actually the things that govern all of the ley lines and magnetic lines and energy lines on the planet.
Do you know what lay? You know what lay means? It's Latin for law.
Right.
Oh, by the way, if you're listening, we wish we had a toll-free number, but we don't. We can barely afford this program, but give us a call at 347-996-3318. The number's right on the screen. Or you can Skype in. There's a little Skype symbol right next to the telephone number. You're certainly welcome to call in if you're listening.
So go ahead, Mark.
Well, so what I suggest is people learn about this concept of Luna, Spider Woman, these different things that are kind of an all-encompassing things. And use that to unite and unify through that, because we all come from it anyway. So we go back to it and we utilize that consciousness and we become consciously aware of that. And that will, one simple way that I was shown, it's very simple, but it's very interesting. What I was shown is you visualize a tiny spark or little star of light inside of every single other person on Earth. And you realize that that little star, that little spark of light, is you within them. Once you do that, then you turn around and you look the other way, inward, and you look inside of yourself, and you see millions, trillions of little stars. That's all the other people.
Oh, there's a lot of badger power in that.
You just made a connection. And now once you've done that, then you can do your prayers, the other things that you're going to do once you've established that connection.
Speaking of connection, that is the sound that the badger made right before he connected with the FBI agent's hand. And Jimmy looks twice. Porch.
Yeah, badgers like to bite the heads off of things or hands or whatever.
Yeah. But that's where I got the sound effect.
Yeah, I think I'm going to bite the head off of J.P. Morgan.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you can always maybe get a buffalo herd go through there, you know, or maybe some bears. Yeah, a little bear energy there, you know. There you go. That's what we need.
Well, where's the otter?
I haven't found an otter. I haven't gone looking yet. what does the sound of fun sound like? I'm sure I can find something here. So I know I was.
By the way, when they're breaking open the seashell, eating something.
Well, I know. I know back in August 2007, I visited the Oregon Aquarium, and I mean everybody was there to see the otter. Everybody. I was standing in line just listening, and these kids, I want to see the otter, you know, it's really interesting. Well, listen, give us a call in 347-996-3318. Sometimes I'm not actually looking at the studio interface, and I might miss you, but just call in, and you'll automatically go into the screening room. But yeah, we'd love to have you call in, and if you got any questions, we have over 100, 109 listeners now. That's an all time record that beats the heck out of I think we've done 109 listeners. That's you did a good. Somebody did a real good job publicizing the show. Was that you, Mally?
No, I don't know. We're reaching out. We're trying. And on that score, I was just wondering if Adam might be of interest to the listeners. Adam, if you wanted to explain a little bit more of what the format and the schedule right now looks like for the 3 days, if someone is a little more interested in that, would you mind?
Sure. I don't have the, just off the top of my head, I don't have it right down in front of me here, but basically,
Give them a little information, too, about who the Master of Ceremonies is and the fact that Drun Vilo is a part of this as a special commentator. It might be of interest to some different people out there.
Yeah, if you all, basically, it's a 3-day conference. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And before I go any further on that, too, Saturday night we do have special guests from Lake Titicaca Sayaka Inca coming all the way from the shores of Lake Titicaca to be here with us. You know, phenomenal musicians. I spent the last few years working back and forth with them here in the United States and also down on the shores of their hometown in Puno. And so that will be Saturday evening. Friday, we're looking at open to the community. We really believe that friends, family, and children should be a part of it. So we begin Friday, and Friday evening we'll begin the dialogue with the Mamo starting out. And usually, what they end up doing here is doing a transmission of clearing. They start the clearing of each individual in there. It's sort of like a meditation, but they use specific instructions. They do a clearing. We'll have opening ceremonies and give an introduction: who they are, what they are, where they come from, why they're even here at this time, and the uniqueness of what they're. Message is in this time. And we will have local indigenous peoples from Arizona attending with us, which we're going to make that a surprise to encourage y'all to come out. It's sort of a little icing on the cake there for everybody, but also to honor and respect those. And we also give thanks to indigenous people, non-indigenous people of this area for allowing us to be here and also welcome to be there. So that'll go on till Friday evening, and we'll wrap it up and then beginning a full day on Saturday with opening ceremonies. And they'll begin the process. It takes you know, I've spent some time, really intimate hours with the mamas to give a little bit of understanding. When I go there to be with them in their terrain, in the mountains, way up high in the mountains in Colombia, it takes several hours to get on the same frequency or vibration. And so literally when I go there, I keep my mouth shut. I'm just listening, quiet, quiet, quiet. And there's a type of clearing and cleansing that's happening. And they're speaking in their language and counseling and talking. And then they open the door for myself to hear. The reason I believe for this is because I've been trained in the Western world is moving the thought patterns for goals and projections, those around us, sort of a controlling factor that way. When we're going to these type of people, it's like a surrendering or a deprogramming or fragging. So that's the process that's going to happen Friday and Saturday, is we're going to be defragging that, trying to move the thought patterns of what we want to get, be able to receive from them. I don't know if you can look at that a little deeper. And so they work with that, and they'll only deliver that of what we are ready to be able to hear, or else it'll, you know, go through one ear and then cross the other. So that's sort of the process, and they're going to share a little bit about that and how we're interrelated to our bodies are interrelated to the land, to the stars, to the heavens, to different aspects of Mother Earth. And so, you know, and people are going to come with specific questions. So we'll go this dialogue back and forth. Obviously, we'll have breaks. We'll be taking lunch breaks, and there'll be some quiet time down there, and begin this dialogue. So,
we'll
start that. Go ahead. Oh, so we'll be doing more discussions, and we have specific questions, which I don't know if they've been up on the website yet, but we'll put those out that we've requested them to share with us. Everybody's asking about this year, December 21st. They're like, get over it. We've been here before that, the first cycle, and we're going to be here through this next cycle. Let's get more deep, folks. You know,
Adam, we've got it's funny. I have to refresh this browser every once in a while. We have five people on the line, and let's have the one that's been longest 424 area code. What's your name and what do you want to say?
This is Dana Redhawk, and I wanted to just elaborate a little bit on the White Buffalo. I actually work with Adam through the Grandmother's Council and the Grandfather's Council.
Mm-hmm.
And just talk a little bit about the White Buffalo and my perspective on what's been occurring. I've done research from the 1800s on White Buffalo, and I also am a consul to the White Buffalo Herd in Oregon.
Oh. Well, good to have you on board.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Good to have you on board. And let's see, we have area code 270. What's your name?
My name's Brian.
Hi, Brian. Did you have a question or comment? Is it?
Yes, well, it's...
this is Brian Wilkes.
Finally, this is Brian Wilkes.
Hey, how you doing? Okay.
Oh, I'm doing all right. It's good to finally connect with Adam.
Hello.
And how are you doing? Been
very
following
good,
your travels.
Yeah, I've been good. That's what the bird does right now, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, I found it really, really striking, something you said about when you go up into the Kogi country, it takes a while to readjust and get on the same wavelength as the elders, because in my experience, you spend the first couple hours, if not a couple of days, just trying to figure out where they put the oxygen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there ain't a whole lot of it around. And then what a lot of traditional elders do, which makes you realize how ugly Americans look abroad, is when they realize you don't speak the language, they will speak to you more slowly and clearly and
mm-hmm.
get a little louder, and it doesn't work any better than when American tourists do it abroad.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it gives you a little more time, and you eventually start figuring out what's going on around you. And one thing that I've found in years of teaching Cherokee language is learning the indigenous languages forces you to completely rethink what you meant to say, because the languages are not structured the same way. And I don't know, is that your experience with the languages in Colombia and Venezuela, Adam?
Yes, yeah, and but yes, that's true. And beyond that, it actually was, for me personally, it's been putting me into a more of a telepathic, because I get to travel around the world, and I've been in Germany and all those countries over in Japan, and I've had to find the journey back to the heart to get
mm-hmm.
the heart back, you know, map understanding and be able to receive. So I've been practicing to be able to understand beyond that language and through feeling and watching and knowing. So it's been pretty deep for me, and that's part
uh-huh.
of what they're sharing and training too.
Mm. Let's bring some other folks in. Sorry to interrupt you. We have four other people that are holding. Area code 828, what's your name?
Hey, my name is Matt.
Okay. And let's bring area code 310, what's your name?
My name is Troy.
Matt and Troy. Area code 815, what's your name?
My name is Kyle.
And area code 541, what's your name? 541, you need to turn your volume down on your speakers.
Hello?
Yeah, area code 541, what's your name? Okay, I guess that call was dropped. Anyway, we've got one, too. Besides the four people on the show, we have four other listeners online, and sorry, I don't know how they got dropped, but anyway, I wanted to bring everybody in here and into the swimming pool so they can play with the otter.
Yeah, Adam, baby, this is your boy Troy from the Amazon. What's up?
That's right. There he is, the total health nut. I met this brother years ago back in the depths of the Amazon jungle. As I'm talking right now, my whole body's vibrating.
Hey, I'm in LA holding it down, brother. Peace on earth is coming. The shift is here, brother. It's here.
Yeah, thanks for holding that space. I love you.
I love you too, bro. Everything
good to have
you're
you
doing is awesome.
Tell them a little, real brief, Troy, what you're doing here, man. I've seen this man transform into an incredible being, as we all are doing now. Give them a little bit about what you're doing here for the planet and humanity.
Well, ultimately, I'm branding out the holistic movement as cool and sexy, and I'm in L.A. doing that. And social media is divinely orchestrated. And I interviewed Chief Phil Lane Jr. for Shift of the Ages, and the two messages that I really got from him when we interviewed him was that ultimately we are all indigenous of this planet, and B, that the internet is divinely orchestrated. He said that it was prophesied a long time ago that the spiritual web of life would be manifest in the physical, and they believe that that is the digital age and the internet. And so to spread these messages of love out onto the internet, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, or anything, and just get the messages out there. Peace on earth is coming. The shift is here. This eclipse was awesome, and it's just coming. And I'm so grateful for brothers like Adam, who's bringing in the Kogi. The Kogi consciousness is so huge for this planet right now, and it's happening. Peace on Earth is happening, and everything that we're doing on the planet is completely unsustainable, and so the shift is mandatory, and it's here. It's here. It's I can taste it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love you, Troy, man. We're going to meet soon. We're going to do it, man. Come together. We'll be together. I support
100%,
bro.
Dude, we're together right now, baby.
Yeah.
It's on, baby. It's on, man. I can feel it, man. Feel it.
Yes. Very powerful. Holy moly. That doorway that came through a few hours ago, that solar eclipse, it's my whole body is tingling right now, last few hours.
That's it. We have the technology for Fukushima and everything to replenish the soils and replenish the water and everything on Earth. All the technology is here, and free energy is coming, like ASAP.
Yeah, I believe it.
Good.
Keep on listening, and I'd like to, let's keep the work rolling, too. Saludos out to Amazon Earth, to all of our relatives also down in the Amazon, Shipibo, and to Scott down there when we first met on the river in the jungle.
Absolutely. Put those herbs in your body to shift the DNA that's already happening. But the herbs are, because of the virgin soil and the life force energy of the Amazon, put them into your bloodstream, and they help awaken the whole consciousness. Absolutely. The holistic movement is the only way to go. The soil is so important, and we have to replenish it, and the waters and everything. Watch my videos on GMOs, all that stuff, and spread it out to everyone, because the people, my brothers and sisters that are coming up here from Latin America to work in the United States, they all have diabetes and stuff right now, and all that can be reversed with consciousness.
What's your website?
CertifiedHealthNut.com.
Okay.
And I've got 100 videos on health and consciousness on the internet, from natural childbirth to shamanism. I work with the Maori from New Zealand.
Well, we need to get you on for a show.
Absolutely, brother. I'm all about social media.
Just email me. Just email when we get you on. We'll get you some of that otter energy.
Awesome. I got to get back to my kids, but I just want to send so much love and blessings to you guys.
All right.
I love you, Adam. You're awesome, bro.
Okay. Go ahead and hang up if you would. Thanks. Yeah, I don't mean to distract anybody, but I find it's a lot of fun to I hope those little sound effects aren't too loud, but they are kind of – they're a little fun. Anyway.
Just wondering and paying attention. It's like, oh, my, let's see what we got now.
Well, you know, it all started with this one, you know, and we all started with the badger. And we had a show, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, where we had a AIM activist on, and we had a lot of fun on that one. We had the bear sounds and we ran the Lakota song in the background, people were talking, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, nice. Hey, well, I got you all listening, too. I wanted you to know that within the last year, since we pretty much kicked it off in 2011 at 11-11-11, which is a very holy day in numerology, we were on the shores of Lake Titicaca, Peru, an island of the sun. And I've been working with a grouping of elders since 2007 at a reuniting of Eagle and Condor gathering. And a certain group of the councils of elders in South, North, Central America gathered. And we put together and we offered to the sacred fires and to the land of the island of the sun this intention to birth the International Center of Spiritual and Ancestral Wisdom. We took that intention the following day, and we took it to the island of the moon, and we set this energy, and we released a copy of that into the fire. And so this center, International Center of Spiritual and Ancestral Wisdom, was ignited by those of North America, South America, and Central America, from the Mayan, from those of the North, and from the Aymara. This intention of this international center is to be the hub. And we have the hub here now in Arizona. It is now up and running. And this is to support different centers throughout the Americas. We already have several up and running. You can look at the beginning of the projects. We're almost finished. One of the homes on the island of the sun, a Chicana, beautiful, all made out of adobe and natural earth. That'll be finishing soon. We're raising contributions for these centers. For the Mayan in Guatemala, Aymara in Peru and Bolivia, we have several projects with the cattle. I can go on and on and on. Well, the hub is here, Arizona. And we just, we're in the works under contract right now for acquiring these lands and getting this land. So I encourage people to take a look at that. If you have any questions, help us out to make this fruition, you know, to have the abundance. This will be the foundation for us. Hey, thank you.
Oh, sorry about that. That was accidental. Hey, by the way, it's the top of the hour. I imagine there's a couple of you that probably need to take a pause for the cause. So why don't we listen to Grandfather Rolling Thunder for 9 minutes, and then we'll all get together again, okay?
Okay, beautiful.
Okay, I'm going to mute everybody's mic.
Columbus didn't discover America. There were people here already. A couple of my boys wouldn't put that down. They were going to school. I had to go up and have a chat with this little principal, and I made him stand on the other side of the desk while I stood on or sat in his chair. Finally, I had to stand up. And I explained to him, I've taught my children not to lie. Now, you're trying to make a liar out of him. And he finally caught the message. I told him, you were working for me. I paid taxes. And so you're going to listen to me. And you're not going to teach my children to lie. And so he made an exception of my boys. But he flunked them.
Well, it seems
got even with them.
It seems to me that the lie of the larger culture is much bigger than who discovered America. It's as if we've lost touch with something very, very fundamental that native peoples such as yourself have kept alive.
Well, they stole most everything. And somebody asked me, what part of America is it that you, isn't there any good thing that you like about this country? I said, yes, that's that part that they stole. And it is very true, even though they stole most everything they could get their hands on, our land, children, women, whatever, they took it, and the natural wealth left us very poor people, a lot of our people homeless in our own country. But the best things of all that they had no value was our way of life. They copied our constitution from the Iroquois Confederation. That's in the legal code books.
Mm-hmm.
And so that they didn't invent that. They had nothing like it before. But they couldn't live by it because their heart was not, and their thinking was not in that kind of a order to live by something like that. Mm-hmm. And a real freedom and a real peace, they couldn't do it. So they violated every day by their different interpretations, just like they do their own Bible and different good books. Yeah. And so, and losing these values, they also lost a great deal in how to take care of this land. I like to teach about that. That's our job. We were delegated. We don't say we own the land. The grandfather Greek spirit, the one they call God, is the one that owns the land. And so that we are, though, the caretakers of this land. Nobody else can do it. But there's people that can help, and we'd like a lot of people like that that would help. If we try to take your job, we'd make a mess of it. Somebody else's job, it wouldn't be too good, because you people have the technology, and we're all needed. All of us are needed to work together, and so there won't be any such day as next war of violence. Also that the land could bloom again. And it does in the desert where I live. And I can prove it right now. It looks like a jungle in the area right around my house. And it's green for 100 miles around. On every side, different deserts, real deserts. But in the area where we live, I've seen even what they call weeds. No such thing as a weed, really. I've seen them dance when there was no wind blowing to the sound of our drums and our singing. That's how powerful that is, too. And so that we have rain, and even without the rain, these plants are still green. It's amazing. I come down here sometimes, I see everything dried up sometimes in the past. And one time they was having a drought. And the water commissioners over here in Marion County wrote me a 2-page legal size type letter and invited me to come down here and get some rain that time. At some years back, when it was really drying up down here. And I turned it down. I had a good laugh. You know why? They didn't say one word about what this is going to do for me or my people. So we had a good laugh, and then my people did, and I could see it laying in their yards over there. A lot of rusty old pipe. And yet they didn't say one word. We could have used that for irrigation pipe. Put it back together, we could have used it. But it's not for me to beg or to tell them. They never offered my transportation, even. They didn't say where I was going to stay or how I was going to eat. Those people didn't. Now, I know they wouldn't ask anybody else to do anything like that. When they go to their doctors, they pay. You bet they do. Handsomely. I didn't ask them for no payment. I don't go begging nowhere. And they can't treat me like that. They want, they want, they want. And they want an old Indian to work for nothing. Some of those politicians are the worst. Let's put it that way. I don't want to talk too much about politicians.
There was a huge thunderstorm here in the San Francisco Bay Area 2 nights ago, which is extremely rare. We never get thunder and lightning. And
some of my good friends have been after me. They've been calling me up there. I got many friends throughout the area here. Besides, I like this area. But when my friends ask me for help, that's different from some politician that ain't going to do nothing to appreciate. And yes, I've been dancing as hard as I could, doing a few other things. So, it's my brother over there, that old storm god. And that's the way I got my name for that matter.
Folks, we're going back up. We're back on the air now. We have 150 people listening.
Cool.
And we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 8 people. This has turned into a conference call. So, yeah, there was some discussion going on about the white buffalo herd. I thought let's just move it in so everybody can hear it.
Okay.
Dana, so, yeah. You were about to give us the website, actually. So why don't you give us that again?
Okay. The website for the white buffalo is www.sacredworldpeacealliance.com. And we were talking about how the herd, you know, is sustained. And what has occurred over the last couple of years is Pendleton Blankets came together with the caretakers and have woven a blanket called Hiawatha Big Medicine Blankets that has the shed of the white buffalo woven into it. There's no value placed on the white buffalo, but the shed has supported the herd itself.
Wow. We've just had another 20, we have 160 listeners. This is a huge record. We've never had more than about 50-something. So welcome, everybody.
Hey,
welcome. Thank you. We're glad to be here.
This is Will Bluewater. This is Prophecy Keepers Radio. Listen, if you missed part of this, this will be archived permanently. You can listen to the entire thing beginning about 20 minutes after the show's over. You can listen to it in its entirety or download it. Or you can also place it on your web page in the embed instructions. Everything's right on the the show's URL, which is where you are right now. But back to you, folks. I didn't want to interrupt, though.
Shall I go on about the White Buffalo a little bit?
Sure, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay.
No, I have a question. Oh, sorry.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Adam, do you still skateboard?
Yes, I do.
Do you? You have the best half pipe, brother.
who is it?
This is Matt.
Matt, oh, yep. Hey, brother, yes, I still do. Not all the time. This belly's got
all
a
right.
little buffalo medicine behind it, and I might trip over myself, but I still get out there and do it.
All right, brother. Cool.
Oh, and hey, everybody, please follow Prophecy Keepers Radio. Please become a follower so you can get updates. We're going to be doing live shows on the weekends and replays of our over 100 interviews that we did between 2004 and 2008. But please follow us. But go ahead. Sorry to interrupt.
Wonderful. So I wanted to elaborate a little bit on the White Buffalo. That I found it interesting. I tuned in right when you guys were talking about the White Buffalo, and I'm up here at the White Buffalo Ranch in Oregon where the Herd of 14 is. And I thought that maybe I'd have a little bit of insight and experience to share, if that's all right with everyone.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I've done some research, and there's actually been about 50 White Buffalo born since the 1800s. About 7 of them have been Charlois cattle, about a quarter, like the one in Nebraska that's at the zoo over there. And a couple of them, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 of them have been albino. So with Lightning Medicine Cloud and the previous white buffalo that was killed on the ranch in Texas as a trophy hunt, I feel very strongly, and I've talked with some grandmothers about this, that the Buffalo Nation is speaking out very loudly about the 7 sacred teachings and to remind us that we are all to come together. And the number one thing that has come out of that in these conversations is that in the teachings, it's about respecting one another, honoring one another. There you go. And the love that we all are to find together.
Yeah.
And remembering ceremony.
Yeah, and on that note, I want to share briefly, there's so many medicine people and leaders, not out of any disrespect. We've been getting in our own ways, and this method that you just brought us is causing conflict inside of even the medicine people and leaders, you know, and so we've got to let that go, relatives, you know, no more conflict. Let everyone have their place. There's time and let that go.
Yeah.
Right. And the other thing that I wanted to share is that there is 14 nations with the White Buffalo Prophecy, including Hawaii, which just recently came out. More and more teachings are coming out. The Hopi just opened the White Buffalo Dance again last year. So it's time to bring back these medicines and honor them in a good way.
Yay.
Now, one thing I wanted to add, you may not know about the Hebrews. Their prophecy about the tribe of Ephraim or Ephraim. Most people think that, see, every Hebrew tribe has a animal symbol. Most people tell you that the symbol for Ephraim is a bullock. Actually, it was translated from oryx, and an oryx as a miniature buffalo that is indigenous to Asia.
Wow.
Fascinating.
Very fascinating.
Well, Blue Otter, also to go along with that, the Hindu teachings connect to what Lame Deer said about the White Buffalo and the ages associated. In the Hindu thing, they talk about a cow or a buffalo, and they say in the beginning it's 4 feet on the 4 sectors of a equidistant cross circle, the 4 ages. And then with the passing of each age, it loses a leg. And in our age, which forget, one of the yuga cycles, like an the Iron Age yuga cycle, it's on its last leg.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're at right now. And it's the most feeble and barely able to stand and about ready to fall over, the Kali Yuga. And
wow.
So you would expect Kali Yuga, death and stuff happening, and that's what's exactly happening to these white buffaloes. So,
yes.
And even though they're at a young age. So these buffaloes in the story across the world, one thing also seems to connect is the buffalo and the legs and that are connected to the world cycles.
Hmm. We've had 10 more join us, but now I'm 171. And if you're joining us late, starting about 20 minutes after the show, you'll be able to listen to the entire show from the beginning. But please follow us on your blog talk so you can get updates of our new shows. We're on the air every night. But, yeah, this is a phenomenon, so I'm breaking in every couple of minutes because we have more and more people join us all the time. So so we just had a little badger medicine.
So if I may add one last thing, and then I'm going to go ahead and go.
Sure.
Is that I don't know if any of you had heard about the gift from the Sacred World Peace Alliance to the Little Soldier family of the White Buffalo Chief Hiawatha.
Mm-mm.
Cynthia Hartbutton, the caretaker of the White Buffalo herd in Oregon, has offered to donate the White Buffalo Bull, Chief Hiawatha, who just turned 7 on May 16th, to the Little Soldier family. And just a little update on that is that that has been put on hold until the culprits of Lightning Medicine Cloud's killing and his mother have been caught.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the safety of the RB Little Soldier family and Chief Hiawatha himself. So
that's good.
Yeah. It's a promise of goodwill and, you know, a statement that we're all together in this and that no one owns the medicine, and whoever did this is, you know, Lightning Medicine Clouds will go on. His message will go on. So
okay.
With that, I thank all of you, and I'm very... Go ahead.
And that made the otters happy.
Thank you for all the information.
Yes, and thank you. And I'm very happy to have stumbled upon this tonight and wanted to thank all of you for sharing in a good way.
Sure. Yeah, be sure and like us because we're on every night. And thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Good night. Hope you know.
Yay.
Oh, we still have 38 minutes left. What's next?
Well, going back a little bit to the International Center of Spiritual and Ancestral Wisdom, this center in this hub here in Arizona, right outside of Sedona, is to help projects like this. And it's to have this land, to have the councils and circles so that we'll be able to intervene, share our cultural medicines, prophecies, bring the elders. So please, you know, if you'd like any more information and you're listening in, get involved in some way. I know our relative here, Mally, will be helping out here with the center, and we'll be getting more information out on that too, how you can help and what we can do. But this was the effort. I just made the commitment to do it here of the elders in the meetings and convenings that have been taking place in North, South, and Central America. So this will be the hub of North America.
And Adam, it's just a different viewpoint. I think that sometimes the listeners might not understand why this land is of such need. With a cultural center like this, when Adam brings the leaders and the wisdom keepers of the indigenous tribes to these gatherings to share their knowledge, it's not, you know, a lot of people don't stop and think of the logistics and the way this has to be done with the ceremony and to keep them in their ways of comfort of how they live their lives. And for Adam to acquire this land, it's very, very imperative
for him to be able to bring these people in a comfortable setting. Adam, you might want to elaborate a little on that, because a lot of times people just don't stop to think of the needs, and you have been so respectful of really thinking this through.
Yeah, well, actually, we're under negotiation right now. You're some of the first to know about it. I'm putting it out through the jetways for the internet right here, right now. We're under negotiation for the lands here in Arizona. And then also, we do have an international ICSAL, this International Center of Spiritual and Ancestral Wisdom in Mexico. We got the signatures and everything through the government down there. So, this hub here on this side of the border in Arizona is on the river, Oak Creek River, very significant. And it's the base of the ruins. We have some of the Signawan, or the ancestors of the Hopi and indigenous people, moved through this region. And it also, we have a spring on the property. It's very important to have the spring and to be able to return back for growing. And there's an orchard there, and for the housing too, you know, we're working with a lot of indigenous people, which will have some structures created and formed, but also for the housing. You know, there's two houses on the property for us to be able to work with and take care of them and feed and put the people in. I think that's what you were asking there. And it takes a lot for this to happen. We've had, I want to thank a lot of those not to be mentioned already that have put in to make this possible, and we do need further support over the weeks to come and months to come to fulfill this. But it's right here now. It is helping, and help us make this dream a reality, and we're going to start building this up here pretty soon.
Oh.
Heard. You got anything else, Mally?
Anybody? Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's, again, for the new listeners, it's to just, I urge everybody to keep track on the website, theindigenousnativeamericans.com, because it will allow people to find new ways, you know, weekly of what our needs are, what Adam needs as far as support in small ways. I think it's very important to realize that there's many, many levels of support, and even if it's something that's not monetary, we urge you to become a part of it, because we are all one. And if it's just prayers to have all this manifest at this very special time with the alignments, that alone is huge. So don't ever hesitate to engage in all different ways, because they're all needed.
Oh.
Yeah. And we'll be getting out lots more information of the centers we've helped start down in the Island of the Sun, also in Guatemala, from the Mayans down there, outside of Tikal. We have a brief information on indigenousnativeamericans.com right now. You could go there. And basically, ICSAL is an organization that's dedicated for preserving the ancient wisdoms and traditions of the indigenous cultures throughout the world. And it works on behalf of the indigenous communities in North, South, Central America, and stands as a central organization which of all of the following international projects are supported under, so that we can bring the awareness and support to these projects and to empower the indigenous brothers and sisters so that they can be able to empower their communities. So it's not something that I just actually started in November. It's been an effort and a lot of hard work, labor. So I do want to thank all those. Many of you are probably listening. They've been on the ground, in the depths of the jungles and the rivers. They've been in the mountaintops. They've been overseas on many of these journeys with us. And I want to thank all of you and send my love to all of you for all the contributions, all the labor, all the construction work you've done down on the ground and around the world. I just, you know, to really keep that feel you and give my love to you all for all the efforts to make it to what this is and to build a really strong foundation for these future generations.
And I'm gonna add one other thing, is I think that as Adam was speaking,
something that we all need to remember is it really is the web of life, and it's the teachings of the Atamiwakan, the sacred spider. And, you know, whatever, however many listeners we have tonight, whether if it was 10, I guess we're up to 170 or 80 or whatever, but if each person just spreads this information about this very sacred gathering of the elders coming out of the Colombian area, that they are connected in this web, and whether it's a matter of forwarding one email and bringing someone else to the awareness, or contact us on this this internet site, and we'll get you some hard copy of flyers and information, because the more people can become aware and awakened, it's helping the entire globe. And it's that's the key, I think.
And we have now, somebody just joined us and has their speakers on if you turn them off. And we have 185 listeners now. And if you have speakers going, please turn them down.
Is Frank Wise out there? Is he anywhere online, or is he called in?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, Frank, hey, relative, I'd like to, could you share a little bit of what's on your heart tonight with us, what's going through you right now? Would you like to do that for us?
Well, I just got your message to call in, and so I kind of just stepped into this, so I'm not too sure what the discussion's even going on. You said something about the white buffalo, right?
Well, they've been talking a few. Dan, a red hawk walker, called in talking about the buffalo, how many buffalo, what just happened down, I believe it was down south. At the beginning of the show, I was talking about the importance about rebalancing the land, sacred sites, working with our energetic bodies, and then some of the conflicts that are taking place right now, the importance of clearing our mind, bodies, and spirits, and how these mamos and high priests and authorities that are coming, how unique it is and how important for them to transmit their information. And personally, I know and I feel for you right now. I've been getting the transmissions, and we've been connected, Frank. And I know you're right in the same stream of what's flowing right now, so I think you could sort of, you know, be able to follow that.
You got the talking stick, Frank. Just whatever you want to talk about.
Okay. Well, just to let you know, the Kogi, when they came to New York, they asked me to ask some of the spiritual leaders that do earth healing ceremonies at sacred sites as to why they are sacred sites, or they said they look like Christmas trees to them when they checked in with them energetically. They'd come on and off. And, you know, I talked to Orville Looking Horse. I talked to Marshall Jack, Vinnie LeBeau, and some other people, and I got their messages, and I gave them to the Kogi. But when that night I was shown of certain things that were going on in ceremonies that I was at, people fighting, arguing, doing what they wanted to do during these ceremonies, some of the issues that came up, people bulldozing sacred sites to build casinos, those kind of things were going on. And so I meditated on it in the morning when I woke up as to what my guides were showing me. And is what I was showing was the reason our sacred sites and the people are having so much trouble was that our hearts weren't open. There's so much going on in the modern world that we're so distracted with poisons in our food, wanting money, wanting companionship, looking for all these external things to give us self-gratification or find a way of making ourselves feel better, and instead doing the work on ourselves. And so is what I was told when I went to New York and gave this message to the Kogi. Is what they said is, well, what can you do to solve this issue. For all the ceremonies that I've been attending since then, before we start the ceremony for clearing the land and reactivating the sacred sites, for our, if we're praying about fracking, oil rigs coming in, or the pollution of the water, whatever we're working on, the first thing I do is work on everybody individually and as a group to clear any energies off them and to try to open their hearts as much as I can, get them to concentrate on what we're doing, to not be distracted, not to judge me, not to judge the people in the crowd, not to judge themselves, to try to find total harmony and peace within themselves, and then we do the work. And it's had great results. And I think that if I have a message to give, that would be the message that I could give you, is we have to work on ourselves individually. Because what I've been told is you can't give a sacred site or another person something that you don't have.
By the way, we've just been sorry to interrupt. We've just been joined by a Skype caller. I just want to let you guys know.
Okay. Thanks.
Also, welcome.
But that was awesome. I think the main message is to really do the work that you need to do on yourself, and then if you can help somebody else, then by all means do that.
And Scott and Colin, you need to turn your speakers all the way down, please.
Okay. The main thing is how we're going to raise the vibration of the sacred sites and therefore the world and with ourselves is by working on ourselves. And if we can raise our own level, then we can help other people and we can raise the consciousness of the world. So that would be my message.
Opila, thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Also seeing you too soon, Frank, within the next month. See you down here in Arizona, and thank you for your work and your travels and the medicine that you're carrying for the people.
Thank you, brother, for inviting me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yes, won't be long. Thank you.
And the meeting with the Kogi will take place in Sedona, I believe, on the 23rd.
23rd, 24th.
Okay.
Yes, that's when they'll be here. And I ask all those listeners right now, too, to go to the heart of the world. If you can visualize the heart of the world or the heart of your hearts, to send this vibratory white golden light, transmuting your mind, body, and spirit. Clear these energies now and go there to that heart of that world. Harder yourself and help these relations. Clear the passageways so that they can be able to make a safe journey here. They feel us. They're listening to us, even though they might not be on this radio show. I've given them the message, and they've given the clearance for us to do this. And they're in tune. So let's send this love also to these relatives. They're up right now dialoguing, talking.
Yeah.
Many. Thank you.
And by the way, folks, if you're listening, this is Prophecy Keepers Radio. If you're a first-time listener, our website is at prophecykeepers.com. If you would like to get... You can follow this show through Blog Talk, or you can go to prophecykeepers.net and sign up for show. We'll let you know every night what show is going to be on. We're doing usually do live shows Saturday, Sunday night, sometimes on Friday. But let me play a 1 minute introduction to Prophecy Keepers, and we'll get back to the discussion.
You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asada of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawehis of the Cherokee, We bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
And everyone is also welcome to join our Facebook listeners group on Facebook, our website at prophecykeepers.com. We do have a 600-member Native Prophecy Council. We have a new call, area code 512. What's your name? Where are you calling from? You got a question?
This is Sue. I just wanted to call in and say hi to Adam. Tell him I'm looking forward to seeing him. In June.
Hey, Sue, welcome, welcome. I'd like you to share something about the importance of the sacred geometry in this time. It relays and goes down the stream and ties into what we're talking about, the ley lines grid system and the dances that are recalibrating, which we just came from in Mexico, helping recalibrate Mama and humanity. Just give us a few minutes briefly, if you could.
Well, basically what I noticed in at Earth Dance, at the dance, was the sacred geometry that's coming in is coming in fast. This is all sacred geometry that I've learned from the Mayans with specific colors and shapes is how basically our thoughts and that telepathic energy is worked, Adam. There's so much to be said on that topic. It's just really difficult just to give a few words, you know.
And by the way, we're almost 200 callers. If you just joined us, you'll be able to listen to this show in its entirety starting about 20 minutes after the show is over. You can download it. You can embed it in your website, whatever you like. Welcome, everyone. Hey, we got another caller, area code 530. What's your name?
Eric.
Okay, Eric, yeah, do you...
Hi, hi, ho, ho, hi, here we are. This is the lost bird way over here in Arizona with the chills and the no more pills.
Oh, that's all right.
Really?
Thanks for calling in, Eric. Really admire you. I want to give thanks for your work, your medicine. Can you give us a brief... brief information, you probably don't know what the heck we're saying anyways, it doesn't make any difference, but we're all caught on this anyways. So,
yeah.
You've got an important message, I believe, for humanity and what you're doing there and this upcoming gathering with Talakayel and Woblazen yourself, if you could share a few minutes with us.
Well, yeah, thank you. You know, we just got out of the, did a ceremony for the solstice, made a fire ceremony. I mean, the eclipse. You know, this was one of our things that was written a long time ago, and it's in our Dresden Codex. You know, this is our prophecy. So today we ceremony and send out a prayer, you know, through the Stargate. This time, you know, that, you know, all these alignments were going on to, they call it to our original place, our original home, the Pleiades. And for 26,000 years, the sun and this eclipse hasn't been in alignment with the Pleiades, you know. So today was the closing of the whole 26,000 years cycle. And so we've been in ceremony all these years, you know, and preparing for the summer solstice. We're going to be here on our land here, Deer Mountain, just north of Shasta, the 13-day ceremony through the summer solstice. And then preparing for the Oshlahuch Baktun ceremonies, what they call the December 21st, 2012 over there, ceremonies in Guatemala. So that's kind of what we've been doing. So thank you for today, because Heidi says, hey, you send an email or something. Adam, you know, it's good to hear you, and, you know, thank you for this. And then the next week, we're going to be with Tlacaele and Will Blazer, you know, talking about ancestor knowledge. You know, Tlacaele is one of my first teachers when I was a young man. And we just had Bobby Lake give another sharing here on our website for the Earth Peoples United. So, you know, kind of connected with you today. And since Heidi says, hey, they're talking over there, maybe you want to share a little bit. So thank you for that opportunity.
Thanks for calling in. I'd love to interview you sometime. And yes, you know, we've got almost, I'm checking to see if we have our 198. But please follow our show, upper left-hand corner of the pane. There's a guy in a turban, fat man with little glasses. That's me. Just click follow underneath us so you can get updates of the show. Sorry to interrupt you, brother.
Yeah.
Eric, if it's appropriate, to share a little bit of the history, if this is appropriate time. Basically, the show was, we put the calling forth for the Kogi Iwakos on their journey and their pilgrimage. They're on the way up here in June. And if it's appropriate at this time to share a little bit of the process and some of the convenings and meetings throughout the Americas. So I've been trying to explain as much as I know. I'd like to be open to that.
Yeah.
He's got a little medicine going there.
Yeah. So you want me to share about those meetings?
Yeah.
Go for it, Eric.
The purpose of some of these meetings that, you know, just come up, out and been going, and now we're where we're at to today, you know, that started way, way back when.
Well, when I got on the bus and with the Four Arrows, you know, it's like a L.A., they were talking about, you know, what was left of our nations, you know. And people like from the Akwesasne, you know, from the Six Nations, go traveling and other nations, you know. And so I got on it and I went down to Tlacaele, and I hear the stories from Tlacaele, you know, about all these things that were going to come to be, you know. The condor and the eagle, you know. We used to go to the anthropology museum over there in Mexico City, and Tlacaele would show us all these carvings, you know. And then, so all these years, that's kind of what we've been doing, you know. I went home with the Maya, and then they started inviting a lot of the nations to gather in Colombia, in Nambe, Guatemala, and all these nations gather, you know, and that has been fulfilled, you know, the prophecy of the condor and the eagle come together. We did the ceremonies in Guatemala for that, and also, like you know, in Nambe and Colombia. And now it's, you know, preparing for this 13 Bakhtun, you know, all these years there's always been something going on, and we've been on it since 77 when I started with this circle, you know. And so, you know, there's been a lot of talk about this moments that we, like today, we lived it. You know, when alignments happen and all this work that the elders have been doing, you know. So now that another younger people coming around, they understand, you know, that we must keep the fire going. We can't let the fire go out. And right now, many people are just letting it go. They're kind of going asleep. Like spiritual laziness, I say, you know. And not to insult anybody, but it's too much at stake, you know. All these elders, they did a lot through the years, and they took us this far. And now we see that too many, you know, don't really, you know, understand what that is, you know. But for us, it's to keep the fires alive, because this is the prophecy, you know. Even today, you know, this has been written. And this is setting us up for the summer solstice. A lot of big conjunctions are going to happen through the summer solstice and into the 13 Bakhtun, you know, the winter solstice, you know. So this is kind
what
of...
What about today?
Yeah, today was the alignment of the solar eclipse, you know, and it walked on the spine of the serpent. You know, this is our galaxy.
Yeah.
It's walking up the serpent right in the middle of it. And it's alignment with the rattle. The rattle of the feathered serpent, the Pleiades.
Yeah.
Well, according to our people, that's one of our original homes. And this alignment is today was, if we ever wanted to make a New Year celebration, today would have been it. Today, the ceremony is a galactic alignment. You know, you say 26,000 year cycle is now complete.
Right.
You know.
Right. Right.
In the beginning, hey. Now, the summer solstice.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you. So words of encouragement, Eric, for the future generator, for all of us out there, a lot of the leaders, medicine people, could you give us a few words of encouragement and for any youth that are listening out there?
Yeah, thank you for asking. You know, the main thing is to be honest. And be truthful to your commitment, because if people make commitments, spiritual commitments, you know, it's not to play around with it. It's to make us, like they say, a commitment to the spirit pipe is forever. You know, we don't play around with that, and we don't have it to play with the medicine, you know. And so it is to dedicate ourselves to the truth of the. What the prayer is about, because it's too much at stake, you know. And so to stay close to the fire, they told us, and don't let it go out.
Got to remember, we're returning to the seat of the jaguar. That's what it's all about.
Okay.
Even the Mormons have, believe it or not, the Mormons have a prophecy about returning to the seat of the jaguar. They were told that someday they'd have to walk across the Great Plains back to the center of the country, but they were told they'd have to take a horseshoe-shaped route.
Cheesy.
And which would take them. First, they'd have to cross the Colorado River Bridge at Moab, which means if you drew that projection, they would have to go right back down into Mexico and up the Yucatan Peninsula. So it's the time to return to the seat of the jaguar.
That's cheesy.
Eric, thank you. Eric.
That's
so cheesy.
Yeah, you're right. It's cheesy. Gets the point across, though.
Yeah.
Anyway, Eric, like to get you on the show sometime, interview you. Anybody out there, if you got a ceremony, a meeting, a website, something you want to publicize that has to do with traditional indigenous culture, we'd love to have you on the show. This is Prophecy Keepers Radio. You can wait, and many have. You can, we'll turn over now. Starting about, the show will be over in 8 minutes, and starting about 20 minutes after the show is over, you'll be able to listen to the entire show archived permanently. You can download it. You can also embed it in a web page so visitors can listen to it. But back to you, Adam.
Hey, again, I want to invite everyone. While we began the show, is a gathering being called here in Sedona, Arizona, the Dawn of the New Time by the Iwako's High Authority Mama Kuncha is put this movement forward here, and I've made a minimum of 10-year commitment to these mamas, to these elders over there, and also the Kogis will be joining us too. So we have about 6 to 7 of these mamos coming with their translators and bridge beings, and that again is June 22nd, 23rd, 24th. I know others that are listening and been on the show tonight are en route to make it here to this event, and again we have Mally on board. I want to give thanks for Mally and all your efforts coming on board with us here, too, to help us get the message. If you're still online from Florida, For those that haven't heard the beginning of the show, if you want to share in any way what the movement is and how they can help and be a part of this, also internationally and nationally if you cannot attend.
Absolutely. We've added a lot to Adam's website, which is indigenousnativeamericans.com. Tickets are available for attending. There's many ways that people can help, and if it's just in thoughts and prayers. But we urge you to, if you've just popped in partway through the show, we're just trying to really engage in that network of sharing the information, sharing what Adam is organizing and committed to bringing to Arizona at this very special time, which Eric and Mark have explained. It's such sacred times that we live in, and to become more aware and share the knowledge is really what's so important, whether you can be there in person, spirit, or just prayer. So go to the website after the show and learn a little bit more. Follow us, because there'll be continuous new information up really every other day, but definitely weekly.
Yes, and also be sure this Indigenous Native Americans was created and helped formed along with the International Center of Spiritual and Ancestral Wisdom, once again, relatives, for a platform for you all to use also, you know, for your messages, for your events. So feel free to utilize that, send in the information, we'll upload it, utilize the blog, and we're weekly, we're getting new information out there, and use that as a commerce to get the messages out and help share your wisdom and knowledge.
Adam, we've got a caller from area code 386 that had a question or comment. Go ahead, please.
I was curious, could I enroll Elder and Chi-Chi in the NACAL Mystery School that Batu Chihuahuas?
I don't really know. I'm not too familiar myself with that.
What was the direct question? I couldn't hear real well.
Oh, sorry. I'd like to enroll my two chihuahuas in the NACAL Mystery School.
Chihuahuas?
We'll sign them up.
Uh-huh. They'll do very good.
Yeah, you must be part of the clown nation out there. That's why we created this show or something like that.
Yo, I'm out.
They
are
rocking. They express interest in becoming masters of wisdom.
Yeah.
Hey,
we're
looking forward to keeping the mankind attuned.
Yeah.
We're going to take them down and get them groomed and also get them bathed, and then we're going to enroll them, okay?
Okay.
Well, really getting everybody.
Thanks for calling in, sweetie.
They are going to be so happy. They're going to be so happy. I want to tell it. Hey, sit down right now.
Thanks for calling in. Okay, moving right along. Bless her heart. It sounds like she needs a badger in there to corral the chihuahuas.
Gotta come out. They're moving it through.
Anyway, we got about 3 minutes left. If you got any parting thoughts?
Yeah, I want to give thanks to you, Blue. For
anytime you can come on here. If you want to come on here every other week, it's fine. I don't care. Every weekend, whatever you want to do.
As you saw here through tonight, and we've been blasting it out. The amount of people have been shooting it every minute during the show to people all over the world. And we've got a lot of beautiful people that came in, so please allow them the opportunity to share on your show, bring their messages and wisdom. You know, there's just so much to share from those that have already been on this evening and those that are just real quiet in the background listening right now. Be sure to call back the radio show and get hooked up with them here.
Right, and be sure and click follow underneath my picture, upper left-hand corner. I've got a turban on. Follow the show, or you can go to prophecykeepers.net and sign up for the Yahoo group to follow us. You can join a Native Prophecy Council through prophecykeepers.com. And we're a nonprofit 501c3. If you, we have problems, you know, staying on the air, and we did 100 interviews between 2004 and 2008, and just getting back on the air, been back on the air about 7 weeks, I guess. But I guess we only got about 60 seconds to go. If anybody's got any parting shots.
Go for it. Give us a prayer.
Well, I want to sing this song. I want to sing a song here for